Hi, I'm Mike Martindale, pastor here at the Heights Fellowship. We are so glad that you guys have joined us today. We know that online isn't a replacement for the real thing, but we hope that as you listen to this message, that the Spirit of God would still move in your life. Thank you for listening.
Man, it's good to be here. Good to be with you guys. Great crowd. Thank you for coming. We're starting a new series today. I don't know, I found that in my advanced years, I tend to speak more generationally. Yesterday to me may be 30 or 40 years ago. Some of you guys that I tell stories to go, trust me, it is. But a generation ago, when we wanted information, I mean, families would look at those pristine volumes of World Book encyclopedias, or if you were Team Britannica, Encyclopedia Britannicas, that you had up on the mantle of your living room is kind of the holy grail of knowledge. Everybody wanted to get a set of those. Parents would spend huge amounts of money to get those for their children, because if your children had that, they had access to the greatest amount of information you could possibly want to have in your home at one time. We kind of laugh about that now because we live in the digital age, don't we? Live in the day of the internet. The internet's kind of shoved the old World Book culture aside and kind of claimed its place as the place of information. I mean, a generation ago, we used to ask Dear Abby. Some of you guys don't even know what I'm talking about. Now we ask Alexa or ask Siri, right? And that's kind of the way it worked. And that's great. That's fantastic. There is more information available to more people than at any other time in the history of the world. And it's not just localized. In other words, it's not just, the information's not housed within the walls of a library in one of the great cities of the world. Now it's available to anybody with Wi-Fi, pretty much. I remember in college, we would have to do our research projects. And you would have to go to the library, and you would have to be versed well enough in the Dewey Decimal System to find whatever it was you were looking for, and you had to surf through all these cards, and then you had to go find all these books, or maybe if you were really, really looking for something old, you would get on the microfiche and go find information there, and now you just key it in, right? And that's all well and good if you're trying to learn how to make cedar plank salmon, or you're trying to figure out why the sky is blue, or some of those kind of things. But there are some questions. There are some questions that are deep. There are soul questions, aren't there? And there are things that maybe Alexa or Siri can take you to an article, but they really can't explain the why and the how. And that's what this series is about. What we're going to be asking over the course of the fall really is pretty important. We're going to be asking some questions like, okay, does God exist? How do I know God really exists? Is he not just kind of the result of the fertile imagination of some primitive man somewhere, the way a lot of the world attempts to tell us? What about the Trinity? Is it really one God, or is it really a veiled version of polytheism? You know, what about suffering? What about pain? Where does that come from? And if God is so good, why does it not just exist, but why does it proliferate? What happens to me when I die? Really, what happens? Guys, these are questions that our world asks all the time. The most spiritual age in the history of mankind is the age in which you live, which is interesting. The greatest age of information is also the time when people are asking the deepest spiritual questions. How cool it is that God chose you to live in this time. And part of our discipleship here at the Heights Fellowship is we want to kind of help equip you guys for that. And so we're not just here to deliver an apologetic to make us feel good on a Sunday morning. We're going to try to give you some stuff as we move through these next weeks that really equip you not to debate or not to beat somebody up with what you know and they don't, but to help you understand so that you can relate the hope of Christ. I have had, over the course of the end of the summer, a tremendous amount of questioning come to me from all different sources, people within the church, people outside the church, people here in the Heights family, people from other fellowships here in town and other places. Hey, help me understand that. And sometimes they've gone to a funeral, or sometimes they've just encountered somebody in the workplace. And so this series kind of began to emerge out of that, just so you'll know. And I'm thinking, listen, if these guys are asking these questions, I know within our family at the Heights Fellowship, people are asking these questions. So that's where we're going to go. And today, we're just going to introduce the series. It's not going to take very long, I don't think, today. We're going to introduce the series. But here's what I want you to do. If you have a burning question, if you have a deep question of the spirit, of the soul, that you've been wondering about and you've not really been able to get a source or get an answer on that, we want to hear from you guys. There's three ways you can do that. The first way is with the packet of material you have, there's a connection card. That's how we communicate here. It's not a visitor card. It's for everything. And so there is a space on that, the bottom left-hand corner, to ask questions. If you need more space, then write on the back. All right. Also, if you have a smartphone or you have some sort of smart device, intelligent device, you can text us. And here's the instructions to do that. You text it to the number 22333. The first thing you do is you have to text THF. That kind of opens the door, and then you can ask your question and text that to us. A third way that you can do that is you can go to this web address. And you can, that opens the door and you can ask your question there. Now, I'm not guaranteeing we're going to get to every question. What I'm saying is if we have one that's really recurring or one that we think, man, that's an outstanding question, we're going to add it. This is a dynamic series. I don't have every week nailed down as to what we're going to talk about. I've nailed down about 10 weeks worth of stuff we could do if we wanted to. So if you guys have a question, we'll do our best to get to it. If it's a question that we think that you know, is something we can address here, it may be something we may have to talk to you privately about. But we want to be able to do that. And here's why. A little bit of my personal testimony. I was raised in the church. You know, you guys have heard me say I had the drug problem, drug to the church all the way from the womb forward, right? Every time the doors were open. And so that's my raising. And it was good raising, too. I value and cherish what was instilled in me by the church that I grew up in, by my home church. I still adore and love them to this day. But there was a period in my life during my teenage years where I had a lot of these kind of questions that we're going to talk about. And nobody could answer them or would answer them. I got a lot of responses, something like, listen, don't question God. Really? Or I got responses like, listen, nobody can really know these things. And where it led me by the time I moved through high school and into college was it had created a lot of frustration. I don't know any other word to use for it. So much so to the fact that I had pretty much decided, you know what, I'm done with church. Because the just can't, that the answers aren't there. But what happened is a group of people kind of took me under their wing and began to mentor me. One man in particular named Jeff Bearden. And Jeff basically taught me how to think and how to study and how to ask questions. And here's what I discovered is God isn't afraid of our questions. And the Bible isn't put off by some of the things that we think, maybe even some of our doubts. Here's the point. The evidence is there. And what you have to do is you have to be in it. And as you're on this journey with God, it may take years sometimes. There's still some questions in my mind that aren't answered, at least to my satisfaction, but I'm trusting the Lord that over the course of time, He's going to bring them to me. They're not critical questions. But God began to show me, listen, the answers are there. And you need to know that as we launch out into this series. The answers are there, folks. They're very much available. But sometimes you got to bear down and say, okay, God, walk me through this journey. So today is kind of an introduction to that. And that's why we're giving you the opportunity to ask those questions. We don't want you to walk through this life frustrated. We want you to understand, listen, there's a reason for the hope. And that's what it all comes down to. There's a reason for the hope of Christ in you. And it's better evidence and better reasoning and better logic than anything available from any other source out there. Sometimes, though, we've got the, kind of like I receive, listen, you shouldn't ask that question. We get the idea that it's wrong to ask. We use phrases like, listen, you ask too many questions. I had a girl in my youth group, a church or so ago, and she would ask so many questions so fast, you just couldn't feel them all. It was like being the wimpy kid left on the dodgeball court with all the athletes on the other side of the line. You just get hammered. Boom, 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 boom. You just couldn't handle all these questions. And I would have to look at her and I would say, Deidre, breathe. Just breathe. Can I answer one before you ask me the next one? And sometimes we get the, and there's nothing wrong with the question, but sometimes people feel like, you know, I can't ask God. I can't ask these things of the Bible. We use phrases like, ask me no questions, I'll tell you no lies. That's a great song lyric. Or ask a silly question, get a silly answer. Or don't ask, don't tell. Or in the Old West, we shot first and we ask questions later. And we get the idea that it's just wrong to ask questions. And so one of the great questions of life is it okay to ask? Is it okay to ask these questions? And my slant, my take on it this morning is, yeah. But you read in the Bible sometimes, you read like Isaiah 45. Listen to this. Woe to the one who quarrels with his maker. An earthenware vessel among the vessels of the earth. Will the clay say to the potter, what are you doing? Or the thing you're making say, he has no hands. Woe to him who asks or says to a father, what are you begetting? Or to a woman, to what are you giving birth? You read those verses and you think, well, man, I probably shouldn't ask. But then read verse 11. God says through the prophet, thus says the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and his maker, ask me. Ask me about the things to come concerning my sons. In other words, ask me about my people. Ask me about my plan. Ask me about where I'm going. He says, if you do that, you shall commit to me the work of my hands. What a great thought. God says, I'm available. You can ask me. Now, maybe we need to learn to ask the right way. But consider this. In the Old Testament, before Abraham, right around the time of the flood, that's the time we call the patriarchal period in Bible history, the time of the patriarchs, they asked questions of God and God didn't strike them with lightning. Listen to what Job said. If you know Job's story, any of you guys reading through our Journey 365, read the Bible through in a year. If you have, then you've been in Job. Job is one of the hardest books in the Bible for me to wade through, just so you know, speaking transparently as a pastor. It's great truth, but man, it wears me out. Job 10, I am disgusted with my life. Let me complain freely. I will speak in the bitterness of my soul. I will say to God, don't just condemn me. Tell me the charge you are bringing against me. What did I do wrong, God? Why has this trouble befallen me? What do you gain by oppressing me? Why do you reject me, the work of your own hands, while sending joy and prosperity to the wicked? You ever feel that way? You ever read the news or look at an experience in life and think that and say that? Job thought that. The psalmist, if you read the Psalms, they're full of the various psalmists having these experiences with God, and they're pouring out their heart saying, God, why? Listen, Psalm 10, why, O Lord, do you stand so far away? Why do you hide yourself in my times of trouble? Psalm 42, 9, and I will say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go on mourning because of the oppression of my enemy? As you look at the verse that's printed on the front page of your notes, Psalm 13, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart? How long will the enemy be exalted over me, Lord? In Psalm 44, just a couple of more, why do you hide your face and forget our affliction? Psalm 74, how long, O God, is your foe, is your enemy to scoff? Is the enemy to revile your name forever? The psalmist asked these questions. The prophets, In the time of the prophets asked these questions. One of the most famous comes from a guy that you probably haven't read very much, a guy by the name of Habakkuk. Habakkuk in chapter 1 said, "Oh Lord, how long shall I cry for help and you won't hear? Or cry to you violence and you will not save?" God didn't strike the prophet Habakkuk down. He gave him more revelation. In fact, if you read through that, in the New Testament, the disciples were always asking Jesus questions. Why do the teachers of the religious law insist that Elijah return before Messiah? They asked. Another place they said, "Why couldn't we cast out that demon, Jesus?" And then over in the book of Acts, even right up to the ascension of Jesus at that time in Acts chapter 1, so when they came together, the disciples asked him, and I've underlined repeatedly, they wouldn't go away. They were Deidre in this guy. Deidre, if you're watching, I love you and you know it. Anyway, "Lord, are you at this time reestablishing the kingdom of God? Is this when you're going to do what we think you're going to do?" And he didn't. He ascended and sent the Holy Spirit, and the church was born. But they were asking constantly. Here's my point. Even down to the tribulation, people are asking. In the future, things that haven't happened yet. Revelation 6, 9, and 10 says, "I saw under the altar in heaven the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried out with a loud voice, saying, 'How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth?'" What I want you to see is that in every age of humanity, people have had these questions. From the time of the patriarchs through the time of the tribulation, God's children have cried out. People have wanted to know in every age. So is it okay to search? Is it okay to ask? Understand that man is made to ask. God created in us to be seeking people. We are told to seek after the Lord, to seek and you shall find, to knock and the door will be opened. And understand this, that God is not only good enough, but big enough to handle your questions. What I want you to see here is that he's sovereign and that he's in control, and there's nothing above him or beside him. And ultimately understand that even God the Son, as Jesus Christ, asked questions. Do you remember that? Matthew 26, he's in the Garden of Gethsemane, he goes and falls on his face, and he's basically pleading with God, "Is there another way?" When he asks, and the way the Bible writes it, it's very official and very kind of formal the way it sounds, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me." You know what Jesus was saying? "God, is there another way?" That's what he wants to know. And you know, the answer is no, there is no other way. And then in Mark 15 on the cross, that's when Jesus cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And you know, that was a very specific moment in the history of the world where God the Father and God the Son, for that instant, were separated by your sin. That's what our sin did to the Christ. That's what our sin did to God. He cried out as God turned his back on the sins of all humanity in that time. So let me give you some tips. Told you we weren't going to take too long today, and we're moving pretty quick. First couple of things are this. To search God, first of all, ask, don't accuse. If you really want to know, ask, don't accuse. Now, if you're in pain and you're dealing with trouble or trial or an illness or weakness or something, it's awfully easy to get accusatory, isn't it? But talk to God. Check, don't challenge. The best kind of advice or the best illustration maybe I could give you is the Apostle Paul. You remember where he tells the story about his own struggle. And he literally asked God multiple times, "Take this away. Can't you do something about this?" And every time God says, "My grace is sufficient for you." Now that's not the answer. That's the explanation. Do you know what the answer was? One word. No. The answer was no to the greatest apostle, in my mind, at least, who ever lived. God said no. And then he said, "But my grace will be sufficient. I will get you through this, Paul." Some of you guys that are struggling through a really tough situation and you're crying out to God, maybe the answer he's telling you today is no. He's big enough to tell you no and take the flack for it. My question is, are you big enough to receive that answer? Do you trust him enough to take that answer? No. But my grace will be sufficient. That's not something, we haven't liked to hear that answer since we were kids, have we? You remember when you would ask your parents for something as a kid and they would say no? And you would just be so mad at them? And maybe you found out later, you know, they were right to say no because look what that saved me. Maybe you never knew why. But sometimes God tells us no. Don't accuse, don't challenge, ask, check, and trust. Now the question is, how do I know the difference? Really simple. When we ask, we're wishing to learn. We want to know. When we challenge or accuse, we're looking to criticize. We're setting ourselves up to kind of give an evaluation. You know what, God, I don't think you're doing a very good job running this old world. That's one of the things we're going to talk about, by the way, in weeks to come. Over in Job 38, if you're tracking this story with Job, it's the story of one man who has this incredible series of tragedies befall him. He loses everything. And at God's permission, God allows Satan to just thrash Job, but he doesn't let him kill him. Because God's believes in Job. God believes that Job will be faithful to me through this. God knows Job better than Job knows Job, and God knows Job certainly better than Satan knows Job. So Job has these four idiot friends show up at his house to comfort him, and they bring all manner of bad information to him. You know, one of the great lessons from Job is if you trust world wisdom, it's going to leave you frustrated. As you move through the course of Job, finally, you get toward the end of Job. And finally, God has heard enough. And God begins to speak in Job 38. It is one of my favorite. When I get to that part of Job, I devour it. I struggle through the first part. When I get to chapter 38, it's like, okay, God's about to shut these fools up. And so he looks at them, and the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is this that darkens my counsel by words without knowledge? Prepare yourself like a man, Job, and all your buddies, because I'm going to question you, and I want some answers from you, son. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth?" Huh? Where were you? Tell me, if you have understanding, who determined its measurements? Surely you know. And then Job answers in 42, after God gives him three chapters of where were you, how come, where was this, tell me about this, explain it to me from your human perspective, Job, and all your buddies. The buddies never say a word. Job says, "I know that you can do everything and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. You ask, who is this who hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore, I have uttered what I did not understand." God brings him this horrific, beautiful journey to this place where he says, "You know what, God, you're right. I don't even have the capacity to understand this." Sometimes in your search, folks, that's the journey. God's dealing with your pride. God's dealing with your arrogance. God's dealing with whatever it is inside of you that thinks, you know what, I can call God to question. Things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Listen, please, and let me speak. You said, "I will question you and you will answer me." Here's my answer. "I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, and now my eye sees you. Therefore, I abhor myself, and I repent in dust and ashes." He's not, this self-loathing is not negative. This self-loathing is saying, "You know what, Lord? I was wrong to criticize you. I was wrong to call you to question on some of this stuff. What I need to know is that you are God, and you are sovereign over this situation, and I understand that." So ask, don't accuse. check, don't challenge. It's okay to ask questions. Barnabas Piper says this, that questions are the conversational currency of a child. Ask God like a child would ask your parents. You ever thought about that? When your kids ask you for something, you know why they're asking you? They believe that you can provide. That's an element of trust. So ask in that way as you're doing that. A third thing is this, ask a better question. You say, well, what's a better question? Let me give you a couple of tips. Go to God. Don't go to the internet. Don't go to a blog. Don't just vent. Actually, go have a conversation with God. Don't just complain. That sounds pretty simple, but in our world, a lot of times people just vomit out their venting, and they don't actually go to God with it. To help you with that, be in prayer. Don't just think it. Man, I'm miserable. I wish God would do something about that. And then you're mad at God because he didn't do anything. Were you talking to him about it? I mean, this sounds really simple, but it's true. And then search the scriptures. Don't say, yeah, you know, I read the Bible somewhere in there. There's a 23rd Psalm. Search the scripture. That may be what the journey is all about, is God getting you into the scripture. As they began to share with me, listen, look through the word and how to look through the scripture and how to do that, I devoured it, guys. And I began to find, man, this answered my questions about archaeology. This answers my questions about anthropology. This answers my question about evolution. This answers my question about suffering. This answers my questions about so many things. And it was changing. It was shaping. It was formulating my worldview, my mindset. Because I was in the scripture. But you got to be diligent and be patient. So to ask a better question, do those four things. And then lastly, ask in the environment or the ambiance of God's character. What do you know about God? What do you believe about God? What has the scripture said about God and revealed about God that you would know? That he is all-loving, that he is all-knowing, that he's all-powerful. So my question is, if you believe those three things, do you really trust him to walk you through whatever it is you're going through? Relationship issues, health issues, financial issues, all those issues. If God really is, can you trust him to walk you through those? One author has suggested this. When you ask the questions in line with God's character, question to know God better, not just to be bitter. Secondly, question to serve, not simply to satisfy yourself. Thirdly, question in light of the goodness of God rather than just to exploit some entitlement that you may have. And then lastly, ask to challenge oppressive conditions, not just to augment some advantage that you have. Maybe the reason you have that question is God is moving you to do something about it in your world. To take a personal step in regard to that, rather than say, God, why don't you change that? Or why doesn't the government do something about that? Maybe God's saying, hey, why don't you let me work in you to do something about that? So just some random thoughts as we close and we're done. You know, God enjoys the journey with us. That's one of the things we know. And so as you're going through that and asking questions, sometimes the trouble that you're going through is simply a part of the trail on this journey with God. He allows you to go through that, and he walks through it with you. My testimony after almost 50 years of walking with the Savior is that he is faithful to walk through that with you, through the doubts, through the struggles, through the crying, through the whining, through the complaining, and through the good times. Stay in it with him. And God doesn't have to tell you why. Sometimes he doesn't even intend to tell you why. Sometimes it's just, you got to trust me on this. He's not always going to answer it, or not always going to answer it the way you want. Sometimes he's going to say no. And then thirdly, be patient. It takes a while. It may take a long time, years. In a microwave society, we want it done in 30 minutes. We want to do it the same amount of time you can watch a TV show, you know, 40 minutes without ads. And it doesn't work that way. And then lastly, understand this. The Bible does indeed give us everything we need, but it doesn't always give us every specific answer. Learn the power of the principle. God didn't look down through the ages and say, listen, I'm going to tell you in the year 2018 where it has to deal with whatever this issue is, the answer is, you know, punt on fourth down. But you begin to pick up the principles as you go through the scripture, as you labor with the Lord in prayer of, listen, you know, that time in the Bible, David did this, or the prophet did this, or the disciples did that. There's a principle here to follow. So as we move through this series, that's where we're going to take you. This morning, here's your application. I want you to be thinking about these things as you go home and talk about it through the week. But the question is, are you really asking God or simply just desiring that He tell you? Ask Him. Or are you just complaining? Secondly, are you daily in the scriptures and in prayer? I do not think you can find the answers you're looking for if you are not daily in the scriptures and in prayer. Thirdly, do you have a living relationship with the Savior? It could be that you're in this room or you're listening or watching online today and you don't have a dynamic relationship with the Savior. In other words, you have never trusted Jesus to save you and take away your sin and your guilt and give you His life. You heard about it. You've been around a lot of people who've done that, but that's never been you. That relationship is not dynamic. It's simply something that you are riding on somebody else's coattails about. How about today you trust Christ for you, yourself, with the Savior? I can't think of a better time to do that. And then the last thing is, are you willing to accept the answers that God has given you and be good with it? And continue in the ministry or ministries that God has given you. When God looked at Paul and said, no, I'm not going to take it away, that didn't prohibit or stop Paul from continuing to do his work. How about you? God is on this journey with you, right? Let's pray over that then. And you need to ask God and do some business with God maybe. Hopefully it was an encouragement to you. In the weeks ahead, we're going to take specific questions and we'll get to some of those things. So be prepared for that as well. It's going to be a good time. This morning we get prepared to share our morning offering. We have a few announcements when we're over. But before we do any of that, guys, let's do business with God in our hearts and in our souls, all right? Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. Father, we thank you that you are a God who created us to be seeking. That was part of what you wired and put into us from the very beginning, from the initiation of our being. You designed us and desired us to seek you. And part of that seeking is that we ask questions. So, Father, help us to learn how to ask better questions, to ask the right questions, the key questions, the most important questions out of life, and to look to you for those answers. Because, Father, the Scripture says, you're not a man, you don't lie. Or you've said by example that you are not wearied when we ask questions. Father, you desire that we would know those important things. So, Father, I pray that we would be people of that. That, Father, that we would have that hope so firmly grasped that we can successfully and articulately share that with those around us in our world who may say, okay, tell me about that. How can we have hope there? How can you trust God there? Father, we realize that sometimes that's going to take us through some hard times in life, but we can look at those on the backside and say, look how He carried me through, and use that as a testimony to encourage others. Father, there are some in this room who have never begun the journey with you, and yet, Lord, this morning you have penetrated their hearts and said, how about now? Lord, I pray that right now, right where they sit or right where they are as they're listening online, Father, that you would be with them in that moment and say, listen, turn to me, trust me, give your life to me. And Father, they would literally respond in their heart to you right now. Jesus, I can't save myself. Jesus, I deserve salvation. something worse than what I want. And Father, what I want is to be in heaven. What I want is to be forgiven. What I want is eternal life. Father, on the basis of Jesus, on the basis of his sacrifice alone, I believe that that was enough to save me. I believe that that completely covered all of my sin and my guilt. And so I give my life to you. Lord, I pray you forgive me and make me new and start me on this journey. And Father, I pray for those who are already believers that we would walk out of here encouraged and equipped to share the truth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much for joining us today. We believe in the power of the Word of God. If you made a decision, we would love to hear from you. As well, if you have any questions, let us know at the email listed at the bottom of the screen. Thanks so much for joining us. Have a good day.